Welcome to installment 47 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's commandment will once again be positive commandment 155, the commandment to make Kiddush on Shabbos. This commandment, says the Rambam, derives from the discussion of the Ten Commandments in the book of Shmos, Exodus, where it is stated, Zocher es yom haShabbos l'kadshei, remember the Shabbos day to sanctify it. How do we sanctify it, l'kadshei? Through the first word of the pasuk, through zechira, meaning we should mention the holiness of this day and its greatness, which is the commandment of making Kiddush on the entrance of Shabbos. So therefore we see clearly this is a verbal commandment. As the Mechilta says, we must sanctify Shabbos by saying a bracha, a blessing, and this is the blessing of Kiddush. Actually, the biblical commandment of making Kiddush is satisfied by the mention of Shabbos, which is made in the middle of the prayer service on Friday night. However, our sages enacted that one should make an additional Kiddush later on a cup of wine, Kiddush al Hayayin. This verbal mention is, in fact, the only way we'll fulfill the commandment of Kiddush when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos. Since we are unable to make Kiddush in the middle of a meal, it is the fast day. Therefore, the only Kiddush we fulfill is that biblically required, the one in the prayer service. The Rambam mentions that this idea of sanctifying the Sabbath holds not only when the Shabbos enters, but also when it leaves. B'knisase uveyitziyase. When the Shabbos enters, we sanctify it with the making of Kiddush. And when it concludes, we make Havdalah. And this conclusion also sanctifies the Shabbos. As the word lakachai, or to sanctify, and so too the word Kiddush, stems from the Hebrew word meaning separated. Kedusha, Kadesha are used various places in the Chumash to express the idea that something is separate. And this is in reality the idea of holiness. Holiness means that something has been separated and elevated above everything else. And so too we sanctify Shabbos, not only when it comes in, separating it from all the days previous, also separating it from all the subsequent days, through singling it out and emphasizing its holiness, that we must make Havdalah, we must make a break, a separation between the Shabbos and all days which follow it. From the fact that the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs does not distinguish between men and women in this regard, we see that the Rambam holds that women are equally obligated as men when it comes not only to Kiddush, but Havdalah. Many other commentaries, however, differentiate between the two. And in fact, some hold that it is not a biblical requirement to make Havdalah, rather a rabbinic requirement. Therefore, the law ends up that a woman should preferably not make Kiddush, make Havdalah herself, but rather hear from a man. Of course, should she not, she is obligated herself to make Havdalah. However, when it comes to Kiddush, she is certainly allowed to make Kiddush by herself halachically, since she is equally obligated as a man is, according to all opinions. Although there are a great number of laws regarding the Kiddush, one little-known law is that the Kiddush must be understood. And although we say that when something is said in Hebrew, it can usually satisfy one's obligation of making this particular statement, as long as it is in the Hebrew language, as opposed to other languages, where one must not only say them, one is required to understand them. Hebrew, we say, being the holy language, one would satisfy the obligation even without understanding. However, this is only if the person says it himself or herself. Only then is it still considered to be a valid act of speech when one says this particular prayer. However, if one merely hears it from someone else, one is required to understand the words which are being said. Therefore, the Alter Rebbe rules in his Shulchan Aruch that someone that does not understand Hebrew or does not understand the words of the Kiddush should rather say along, word by word, him or herself, in order to satisfy the obligation of Kiddush. Since they themselves do not understand, the only way it will be credited to them as Kiddush is if they themselves say the word, or, of course, unless they hear it in another language which they do understand. The details of this commandment are explained in the end of Tractate Psachim, as well as in Tractates Brachas and Shabbos. Kiddush is, of course, closely associated with the idea of eating on Shabbos, with the Shabbos meals. The holiness of the Shabbos permeates the physical world, even in such a sense that our physical senses are affected. The story is told in the Gemara about an emperor, Hadrian, who once asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya why it is that the food that is made by the Jews on Shabbos has such a tremendously delicious smell. And then Rabbi Shua ben Chananya answered him, we have a special seasoning, and it's called Shabbos. And this Shabbos gives the food its special smell. And the emperor immediately demanded, give it to us, we want it also. However, he answered him that it only comes to those who keep Shabbos. Those who don't keep the Shabbos are incapable of producing such a wonderful smell. Therefore, you who do not keep Shabbos are incapable of doing so. The Medrash tells a similar story about the Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who once served a meal for Antoninus also on Shabbos. The food, however, was all cold. But nevertheless, Antoninus ate them and found them to be extremely delicious. Another time, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi also made a meal for Antoninus, this time during the week, and this time he was able to prepare hot food. But somehow the emperor said, I don't understand. The first time I ate, it was cold food, but I enjoyed it much more. This is hot, and it doesn't taste as good. And the Rabbi Yehuda answered him, but these are lacking a certain ingredient. Immediately, Antoninus said, well, we don't lack anything here in the royal household. Tell us what it is, and we'll give it to you. And he answered him, how can you give it to me? The royal storage houses lack Shabbos. They don't have the Shabbos, and this is the only thing which can give this food its special taste. Our sages were very careful to ensure that the Shabbos meals were as delicious as possible, and it was considered, and is now considered, a great mitzvah to participate in its preparation. Rabbi Avohu, it is said, used to sit down and fan the fire to ensure it would be at the proper heat. Rav Safra, it said, would prepare the head of animals for cooking. Rav, it said, would salt the shibuta, a fish. Rav Huna would light the lamps. Rav Papa would prepare the wicks for the candles. Rav Chista would cut up vegetables. Rabba and Rav Yosef used to chop up wood. Rav Zeira used to light the fire. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok used to run around carrying anything which could possibly be of use, anything needed for Shabbos. And when asked why it was, being such an honored sage, he would run around carrying things. He would reply, if Rabami and Rav Asi, other sages of the time, would visit me, certainly I would carry for them. All the more so if Shabbos, an even more distinguished guest, is coming, certainly I should carry things in its preparation. It nevertheless still seems a little bit strange. Shabbos being such a holy day, Zecher L'mayiv Sebereshis, a reminder for the very creation of the world. And when it comes to its celebration, what are we involved in? Not only in elevated spiritual things, but also physical things such as eating and drinking. And the eating and drinking themselves become a mitzvah. Why should there be so much of an emphasis placed on the physical enjoyment of Shabbos? It seemingly should be proper to only stress the spiritual. The Baal Shem Tov gave an example to explain this. An example of the son of a king who was sent by his father the king to a far off village in order to do a certain job. When he reached this village, he found the people to be extremely coarse and extremely low, and to not care about any of the higher ideals he had been raised to respect and to emulate. But nevertheless, he was sent there by his father the king, and he did his job faithfully and in a trustworthy manner. After a while, the son received a letter from the king, from his father the king, encouraging him and reminding him of his home back in the palace. And at this, the son had a tremendous cause for rejoicing and was filled with a tremendous simcha. And when he wanted to share it with everyone in his environment, however, they couldn't care less about any connection with the king. They themselves didn't care about the king. All they cared about were their physical pleasures. Therefore, the son came up with an idea. I will buy delicious food for them, and I will buy all sorts of drinks, and we will eat together, I will make a feast, we will eat together, and we will drink, and we will celebrate. And this is exactly what he did. He bought all of these foods and all different sorts of things to drink, and he made a tremendous banquet for everybody in this town. And they all rejoiced together, and they were singing and dancing, and in a spirit of tremendous simcha. However, there were two types of simcha. One was the type of simcha which the son had, that he was rejoicing because he had received this letter from his father the king. Why was everyone else rejoicing? They were rejoicing because they were eating good food and drinking delicious things, and therefore they were rejoicing at the physicality of the situation. So too, said the Baal Shem Tov, that on Shabbos, that a neshama is given a tremendous infusion of holiness and a tremendous reminder of its connection with its king, the King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be He. However, the neshama is stuck. It is in a far-off village. It is imprisoned within the body. And as a result of this limitation of the body, it is unable fully to express and feel and rejoice in its connection with its source, with where it came from its palace, and from the king. Therefore, the alternative is to give the body also things that it enjoys, and it should also at least be in a state of rejoicing. Aye, it cannot reach the same level, the same type of rejoicing as the soul, since the body is capable only of understanding the physical and not the spiritual. Nevertheless, at least let them rejoice in the company of each other. Let them rejoice together. The soul rejoices because of the tremendous spiritual elevation and revelation of Shabbos. And the body rejoices in the delicious food and the delicious drink and the singing and so on. And in this way, not only the soul ends up doing the mitzvah, fulfilling the commandment of Shabbos, but even the body, which has no realization of spiritual concepts and spiritual values, even it can also come to strengthen its bond with its Creator and to enjoy a certain simcha also as a result of the arrival of Shabbos.